This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Guys, welcome back. You are listening to episode 90. I'm talking to my friend Rachel Scott today. She is so lovely, you guys. She grew up in a blended family like so many of us did. And like so many of us, the experience was not always fantastic. And so when she found herself in the parent role of a blended family, her and her husband decided to be very intentional and do some things differently, which honestly, hopefully my kids do things differently. They're telling me they have lots of big plans to parent differently and better than I parent. So anyway, it's not that different than what Rachel and her husband have decided to do. But Rachel found herself, she had some kiddos from her previous marriage, and she found herself parenting much older kids from her husband's previous marriage. So now she has a gaggle of kids that she is parenting from infant all the way up to adult. I don't know about you, but that is a tall order. I really wanted to bring her on the show because we all know the statistics. It's like half or more than half of marriages end in divorce. And most people have kids, and so that means that you got a lot of blended families, and we don't talk about it that much, but there are some very specific needs and challenges that blended families need to know how to navigate. And I'm telling you what, Rachel and her husband do a great job. You're going to love hearing from her. We also, both of us, have a history of leaving abusive relationships. And so we talk a little bit about that at the end. We didn't plan to go there, but we went ahead and did it anyway. So sadly, I know that some of you have that going on right now. And so I hope that that will give you just a glimmer of hope and a little bit of direction. So my prayer is that that will benefit you and make you safer in the future. Before we get started though, I am pleased once again to tell you about Revelation Wellness. They are the ministry run by Elisa Keaton and all of her lovely friends. They really help to combine the gospel and movement. They have a subscription to RevWell TV. You can find that at revelationwellness.org. Elisa has a fantastic podcast, and it's called, let me even look at what exactly it's called. I have subscribed to it, so I don't even have to look. Well, it's called Revelation Wellness. What are the chances that she'd name it after her ministry? Good call, Elisa. Those are really, really good. They also have instructor training if you are interested in taking yourself or a group of people to a whole nother level of freedom. I personally am doing that. I am excited/petrified just because it is way out of my comfort zone, but that is where we find growth, right? I'm more excited than petrified, but there's definitely some petrification there. But I'm doing it in the fall. So if that's something that you would like to consider doing, go to revelationwellness.org and get more information, and I will see you there. Real quick though, I need to talk to the marketing department. It's summertime. Sadly, there's less and less clothes on, especially because I didn't quite meet all of my fitness goals over the winter. But as we begin to apply our suntan lotion, wait, it's 2017. We're only applying sunscreen. Never mind. We are not tanning. But as we apply our sunscreen, I would like to just make a small request. I do not think this will have long-term effects on your health, or I wouldn't ask you to do it, but I do think it could be incredibly helpful to the show, and it's kind of your job to tell people about the show. So this is what I need you to do. And you can do it either way. If you're hoping to get darker, please apply sunscreen and just apply a large MSW with the sunscreen, and so that way you will not tan in an MSW, and people will, it's a great conversation starter. Or opposite, if you want to protect your skin from the sun, which you're supposed to be doing, come on, just leave an MSW unsunscreened and let it turn completely red, let it get very sunburned, and then you'll have a red MSW, which again is just as good of a conversation starter. And don't do it under your clothes, you guys. Do it like on your forearm where everyone can see. Come on, think about it. I thank you in advance for altering your body in that way for the sake of your favorite podcast. Me and the Mom Struggling Well team, which is really just me, thank you from the bottom of our/my heart. All right, let's get started with my conversation with Rachel. Hi, Rachel. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
So good. What did you do this morning?
Struggle getting out the bed. Mm-hmm. And managed to still make it in to work on time. So.
Oh, good. Okay. So where do you live?
I live in Ohio. Okay. I live in like a suburb, like Richmond area.
So did you change times recently too?
Yes. And I have not recouped yet.
Me either. It's the worst. Really struggling.
I'm like, can we get the hour back? Can I please just borrow it back for a day?
I know, but it feels like we lost like 5 hours or like.
Yes.
It's terrible.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Does that mean we're getting old? Is that what that means? I don't like that.
I think that's what it means.
Okay. So will you please introduce yourself to us?
I am Rachel Scott. I am the co-founder of Better Than Blended. I have an organization with my husband that specializes in being there for blended families. We want to be a resource for blended families that have experienced either step family, adopted, foster, however we can be a resource for the family as a whole. And our goal of Better Than Blended is that blended doesn't mean that you have to be broken. Mm. And so we want them to experience oneness and unity.
Mm, I love that. I love not broken, blended. That's so great. So good. Yes. Now, the reason this is a passion for you, a lot of times a passion is birthed out of a struggle that you had. Yeah. And so yes. I noticed on your website, it talks about how you both came from single parent homes and it wasn't the greatest dynamics.
Right.
You want better dynamics. So talk to me about
exactly.
That.
So growing up, I mean, we definitely had some amazing parents growing up, but I feel like our keyword is really intentional. I think that it's hard when you don't know how to be intentional and you don't know the value of or how to bring in a family together. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Being a blended family is hard. Being a traditional family is hard, but being a blended family definitely has its own set of unique challenges because of so many other people involved in your everyday decision making, everyday lifestyle. So I grew up, and it's so funny because my mom and dad, we had a total of 7. And our blended family. So my dad had 3, my mom had 2.
Wow.
My husband and I, he had 3 and I had 2. And wow. Then my mom and dad had my sister and I together and my husband and I had 2 kids together. So it's kind of odd.
That is more than kind of odd. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, maybe I was just meant to walk this journey with people. Wow. So I love that I get to tell people from experience of being a child and an adult. So my passion just really came because, of course, I would go around other families and I would feel something different. I felt like there was something different. I knew that I was experiencing love and all the things that I should get from my parents, but I was still missing something. And I think that it was that intentionality where my family, we didn't all get together as a family.
Okay.
There were different things going on. And so some people didn't talk to other people during certain times. And it was just so much. And I wanted, when I knew that even though we were coming together as a family, I wanted my family to experience what it could look like, honestly, if we are all coming together for holidays and if we are all growing up together and we all are building memories together. I don't feel like that. I didn't want them to miss that pretty much. I didn't want them to miss those opportunities. So
that's good.
I just became intentional.
There you go. What does intentional look like in your family?
Oh, intentional. And I just love this word. I use it all the time. I probably overuse it but I feel like that is really the core. We really like to make sure our kids get to experience life and we're just not just going through it. So, for example, we have family day on Tuesdays. So it's really not family day. It's more family evening. But every Tuesday, we do something with our children that has to do with us, everyone being together.
Okay.
So we kind of develop 4 categories. We do faith, fun, finances, and gifting. So we pick from one of those categories and we just come up with something for that day to do centered around there because we feel like when they leave, we want them to have experienced something in all of these areas within the home.
So good.
So for giftings, our little one, he's 2, he likes playing the drums. So everybody will act like we're in a band. And that was family day for that day.
There you go. Hey, easy enough. We try to make it so hard, right? Doesn't
right.
have to be so hard. What does mm-hmm. finances look like for a family day?
So finances, we really try to teach them about banking and teach them about savings.
Okay.
We find different things online. We play different games.
Okay.
And we just try to make sure that they know these things from the home before they get out. So whatever tools we find that and we'll use it for that day.
Okay. How do you get buy-in from the older kids?
They enjoy it. Like they secretly, they don't always say it, but they enjoy it. Even our oldest one that we invite him, like we remind him, hey, today is family day. He'll come up. They just want to experience the family experience. So they enjoy it. They participate fully. They won't take pictures and posted up or anything, but we know that. Way down. Put it on Facebook, hey, family day.
That's so funny. Okay. What are some of the common concerns that you hear from people when you share about blended families?
I would say the most common one, I feel like the first couple years is really hard because they're getting adjusted. I would definitely say the most common one is trying to find out, adjust to all the different people involved in the family. Because as you could imagine, you have a stepmother, you have a father, or you may have a birth father. So one child can have four different people making a decision on their behalf.
Yes.
How does that look? How do you navigate? Who's making the best decision? How do we balance out one decision from another and things like that? So I feel like that's probably the most common concern.
There are so many pieces to that puzzle that are moving. Like, how would you tell a mom to be a good stepmom? Stepmom has such a negative feeling.
Right, it does. I went through that and I experienced the frustration of it all, especially having children of my own going into it and trying to fill this huge role. And one day I literally just cried out to God and I said, I don't know how to do this. I have no idea. Everybody is pulling on me and I don't feel like I'm being a good mom to my kids. I don't feel like I'm being a good stepmom because I just can't do this. And one thing I tell people is that sometimes we fill a role that doesn't need to be filled. Sometimes it's not that they need us to be a stepmom, but we need to find out what does that child need specifically that I'm the only one that can do. So I need to show them how to be a godly wife to their father. What does it look like for him to experience that? They have siblings now. What does it look like to be a godly mother? So as I do those things, they started drawing to me because they saw me navigating both those roles. I also really realized that my role in their life was prayer, to cover them in prayer. They didn't have anyone doing that. They have active people doing things in their life, but who was paying attention to the everyday things that was going on in their life that they needed prayer over. So really each child needed something different. Each child does. And I stopped focusing on the stepmom position. I'm more focused on what does this child need that a mother needs to speak into.
That's so good. What a different perspective that changes everything, I bet.
Yeah, it did. It absolutely changed everything.
How do you handle the other woman? How does your husband handle the other man? Or is there much need?
Well, definitely. In our situation, my husband's previous wife, he was widowed when I met him.
Okay.
So we have definitely like more activity from the family members on that side. And then I was divorced. So my husband does more interaction with the other and he does handle this so gracefully. Okay. I definitely navigate a lot of things through him because he is on the outside looking in. And so his perspective on things helps me to know, okay, should I address this? How should I address that? We talk through everything.
You and your husband do?
Me and my husband, we talk through everything.
Okay.
Because you can get emotional in the process and you can make decisions out of emotions and not really using logic, or you're using frustration. Yeah. And so before I respond to anything, I talk through it with my husband. We navigate, okay, what is the core of this? Is this just frustration? Does this really need to be handled this way? We literally talk through everything to get to the root of what's going to be best for the kid.
Okay.
Not what's best for me, not what's best for the other person, but what is best for the kids in this.
That is so important, but a lot of times forgotten in the heat of all the feelings. So many feelings.
Yeah. Exactly. It definitely is. And having a support system, even if you don't necessarily have a spouse, because we have had that where there are individuals that are dealing with blended family topics and they don't have a spouse, but their child's other parents are married. And it's still so crucial to have a support system where you can get guidance and wisdom from no matter what.
That's a great perspective, because I would think some people who are single still wouldn't consider to get a support system.
Right. And it's so needed, if not even more, just because it's all about walking in wisdom. Honestly, this journey is walking in wisdom and not just in emotions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I saw on your video that you and your husband in the first year or years, things flare up. Like you said, the beginning is really especially tricky. And you were digging down to some roots of some things. And what did you find that really kind of relieved some of that tension?
I would say the kids knowing that we are a team was huge. That it was not one against the other. There was a lot, especially coming from being single with kids. You learn to navigate life on your own without anybody's opinions, really, or with maybe one other person's opinion. And you feel like you know what's best for your kids. You feel like you know what works best for your kids. But when you come together, the other person sees things that maybe you miss, or the other person sees behaviors that maybe you've kind of brushed to the side because you're like, look, we're living, we're fine, we're okay.
Right.
But those things still need to be addressed. And I feel like navigating those behaviors and those things that the other person saw that I had learned to manage and live with, and that my husband had learned to manage and live with, no one needed to live with it. We all needed to address it because we knew that it was important just to the children as a whole. It could be something minor. Like, for example, my son had different behavioral things going on. I was like, okay, well, I've navigated way around it. Maybe he stays up. I'll let him stay up a little bit later just because I don't want to have the extra confusion or frustration of it all. But my husband's like, well, we need time together. So how are we going to navigate this?
Yeah.
But I didn't see it as an issue when I was single, when it was just me.
Yeah, you didn't need time with someone else.
Right, exactly. I'm like, hey, he's fine. No phone calls home. I'm good. This is work. It's like, but it's not. It's not really dealing with the issue.
Right. Okay. So I've seen a lot of what it feels like two families kind of living in the same house where this person can't speak about what's going on with this kid. And it just seems to be like they're blended in the fact that they live in the same house, but it doesn't go further than that. How did you break down any of those walls, or was there any kind of, you know, you're not my mom, you're not my dad. Like, how did you take that on?
It definitely has to do with age. So the older kids, they call me Miss Rachel.
Okay.
And my kids are younger and they call my husband dad. And it's nothing that I ever told them to do.
Yeah.
This is something that they saw, that they just felt like that's who he was.
Yeah.
And so I do not get tied up in the titles because at the end of the day, I know that who I am to them and what I'm going to be to them is going to be a mother figure.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me their mother, but I'm going to be a loving mother figure. I'm going to be active in their life. I'm going to be whatever God has assigned me to be in their life in the form of a mother.
Yeah.
So we never really had major issues when it came to that. Now, I can say that, and this is just, you know, being honest with, because I feel like transparency definitely helps other people,
mm-hmm.
that when it came to the flip side and my ex got remarried, the name mother kind of got thrown out there really quickly.
Okay.
And I kind of was like, okay, let's kind of work through this. And so I do feel how it feels to have that title kind of pulled and the things that go into it. But then I had to get over it. I'm like, they're young. And if this is what they want, I know that it doesn't take from who I am in their lives. It doesn't.
Such a good perspective. We get so scared and then we feel threatened and then we freak out and start being idiots. Not necessary.
And I'm telling you, I had my moment, but I had to grow.
Yeah.
And I looked back and there were people that were like godmothers to me and I called them mom.
Yeah.
They were active. So it's not as deep as sometimes we pull it, and we don't have to be as threatened, like you said, that word was perfect, by the title being used in another way. We know that the love that our kids have for us, there's nothing that can compare to it.
Yeah, I love that. How important is it for you to have a relationship with your ex-husband's new wife?
That's a loaded question because I feel like it depends on the other person.
Okay.
So there's definitely times that we interact. In our relationship, of course, I'm human, so our relationship has been up and down.
Certainly.
But yeah.
And you're obviously not going to be best friends.
Right. And there are some people that are best friends. It definitely has to do with each individual person and the maturity level and the ability to do that. In my situation, they're in a whole nother state. I mean, I don't see a need to call her up and say, hey, girl, what's going on? Now, if we were neighbors and we were really close, then I would feel like, okay, we need to have a relationship. Our kids need to see that.
Yeah.
But as long as they see us interacting well, I feel like that's sufficient because they don't need to know drama that happens. There's no need for them to know that if there is any. But I definitely feel like we're all at a really good place now where we know how to raise our kids the best way that we can and in a way that is best for them. But it's up and downs, there's up and downs. I feel like I definitely talk to their dad a lot more in regards to what's going on than I reach out to her.
Yeah.
But I understand that the decisions are made between the both of them.
Okay.
And they understand that with my husband and I as well. The decisions having to do with things are made between the both of them. That's how it should be, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
I hope I answered the question.
No, I mean, it is a hard question. But I mean, some people decide like, oh, I hate them. I'm not even going to look at them. And I'm going to say a bunch of bad stuff about them. But that does a lot to the kids who have to carry that burden.
Yeah.
So I mean, while you're not going to probably get each other Valentine's cards and Christmas presents and stuff, that doesn't mean that you have to hate each other either.
Exactly. And that's my thing. We can be in the same room together. We can be at the same thing together. If the kids have a program or something like that and they're here and there's no issue. We talk, we say, hey, this is what they need. Even when they're out of town, sometimes she'll send me a picture of what's going on. And so we're good. I'm not thinking to call up and have all these long-winded conversations.
Yeah.
If that were to happen, I would be perfectly fine with that as well. I'm willing to grow however the relationship is willing to grow. And I think that's a perspective that you have to have. Are you willing to grow with the relationship? Are you willing to go past some of the previous hiccups and grow if the relationship is willing to grow?
Yeah.
And if you're open to that, I think you're good.
Do you and your husband ever come into a situation where It's just tricky when, like, say there's a child, and maybe it's your child, and that child's having a situation, and your husband feels really strongly, but you feel really strongly, kind of like you were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, you both feel really strongly. He's the man, but it's your kid, even though it's both your kids. Yeah.
So what we do in those kind of situations is we both share how we feel, and we listen attentively, like, because we've had plenty of those where he feels a certain way strongly, and I feel a certain way strongly, and my perspective may be, well, at the end of the day, I'm the one that has to live with the result of this, because this is kind of more tied to my name. But he always has some great wisdom to give on the matter. So at the end of the day, we don't really make a decision until we are both, first of all, we both had clarity from God. We just truly believe that at the end of the day, we will get that. So, but we don't make a decision until we're both on the same page, because we both have to live with the result of whatever decision we made. So if I agree that this is something outrageous, well, now he has to still live with that. So his opinion matters at the end of the day. Yeah. His opinion absolutely matters. So we talk through it, and we do really good with communication. A lot of times, I feel like as you've been married longer, you think similar. So previously, when we first got married, we were like, our thought processes weren't completely the same. They were alike, but they weren't completely the same. Now, he kind of already knows how I'm thinking about a situation. I already kind of know what rebuttals he's going to give. So I'm already prepared and think through it. So it works out well now.
Good. That's so good. Is there anything special you have to do to help the siblings blend with each other? Or does that just kind of naturally happen because they're kids?
They naturally blend it. But I think that us being intentional with spending time together helped. Okay. So just really making sure that they knew that we are a family, because at the beginning, they're used to separate lifestyles.
Yeah.
They're used to the separation. And honestly, I had a struggle, and we both did, because we were used to spending time with this child and this child. So they had to adjust to that change. And so did we. Mm-hmm. We had to adjust to making it, hey, it's all of us. We are all hanging out together. We're all doing this together. But I see how us pushing past our own emotions with that and us making it happen. Now, it's no question. They call each other brother and sister.
Okay.
Like, period. This is my brother. This is my sister. And there's no in between for it.
Okay. Is there ever any moment, and I'm trying to think as if I was a woman in the situation, where you just thought, I just can't handle this kid. I mean, this kid is not my... Like, did you have a hard time making one of them feel like one of your own or part of the family?
Absolutely. I feel like that's normal. First of all, let me say, me coming in and having younger kids and coming into a picture with teenagers was already a challenge in itself because I never raised teenagers. I was trying to figure out how to raise 3- and 4-year-olds.
Yeah.
So that was already a challenge in itself. And then really you could tell wanted that attention from his dad. And so when we got together, he knew that that was shifted.
Mm.
And I think that we had a little tug of war there for a little bit. But at the end, I made it my goal to let him know that no matter what, I love him.
Mm.
Like, and I honestly, I felt like no matter what, I'm going to show him. This doesn't mean me doing ridiculous things, taking him on trips alone, but really in the words that I say, the way that I spoke them and the wisdom that I gave, I tried to always make sure he knew you are just as much one of my kids as everyone else in here.
Yeah.
And now we are so close.
Okay.
So close. Well, like, that is my buddy.
Oh, I love that.
Every time I think about it, because I know we had that tug of war, and now I'm like, oh, it's amazing.
Good. I love a story that ends good. You also, I saw, are passionate about helping women leave an abusive situation. And you have a talk that you give or some resources called Safe Escape. That's actually part of my story. I had to, like, escape in the middle of the night from a foreign country to get out of an abusive marriage.
Wow.
So how, if somebody's in that situation, and very sadly, I'm confident that somebody listening is, how can somebody get the resources that you give? Or do you just, like, give talks at conferences, or how does that work?
So currently, to be honest, I haven't done much with the talks because I haven't had a lot of people reach out to me.
Okay.
But the talks are more so at conferences, and I did kind of create like a little ebook.
Okay.
That I had that talked about escaping domestic violence, and I have to finish getting it all pieced together.
Okay.
But it's more so one-on-one conversations that I've had. It's more so one-on-one people that have come to me, and I've kind of just given them wisdom on how to navigate through that.
What would be some key things you would say if a woman just knows, like, in her gut, she's got to get out? It is not getting better. It's only getting worse. What would you encourage her to do that would help her be safe?
Well, the first thing I would encourage her to do is find someone that she trusts, that she can confide in, and that she can begin developing a plan with.
Okay.
That is absolutely key. And just being strategic. Because sometimes in the emotion, I feel like when you respond in the emotion, sometimes it causes you to return. When you respond off of a plan and you're more strategic with your plan, then you have thought through different things. Another thing I would encourage a person to do is to write a letter to the person, but not actually give it to them. And hold on to that, because those moments where you feel weak and you feel like, well, maybe it wasn't that bad. You have the letter tucked away once you leave and you read it and you remind yourself in that moment, okay, this is why I left. This letter reminds me of why. So write it to the person, but never give it to the person. But you're writing it to tuck away and to remind yourself in those weak moments where you're almost tempted to go back into what you know you left for a reason, and have that to refer to until you're ready to release that. And they'll come up to you, don't need the letter anymore.
I love that. Okay, so there's so much of that it's hard to even know that you deserve to not be abused, and to know that you deserve to make a plan or find a friend. You know what I mean? How, I'm assuming that you have experience with this, so you wouldn't talk about it.
Right.
How did you get to the point? And I'm sorry, I didn't know we were going to talk about this, but I just feel like it's important. So if you're not comfortable, that's fine.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay. How did you get to the point where you, in fact, said, hold up, I don't need to be here anymore?
I think it came when I realized that I was actually being abused, and it wasn't some type of thing on TV. I think that you see it and you see on TV, you're like, I mean, how could they get themselves in that situation?
Oh, I would leave if that was me, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And then you stop and you say, wait a second, that is me. You know, and in that moment, it's kind of like a self-check. And then you begin to just respond out of it. You either respond by trying to just ignore it, or you respond by trying to find a response. And I think in that moment, just reminding yourself not to be afraid of the unknown. Fear of the unknown will keep you stuck and keep you at a place where you're content. But actually, the unknown is the best place to be when you're in that type of situation, because the unknown can have its share of fear, but at least you're existing in it and you're present in it, and you weren't taken out before you made it to the unknown. And the unknown isn't as bad as it seems.
No, and it has the possibility of safety. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that fear of the unknown will keep you where you're at, just terrified.
Yeah.
But knowing, at least I know what's happening. And the unknown isn't that scary.
I was getting to the point where I was like praying that I would die, because it was so hard every day. I mean, actually, I didn't care which one of us died. I just needed till death to us part to happen pretty quick.
Right. Definitely. I understand. It's hard and it's emotional. And honestly, realizing it, I feel like the hardest thing for me to do was to recognize that I was in an abusive situation. Like, that person was me. But what happened was, in my story, other people saw it. And so this movie came out and everyone was like, you need to go see this movie. You are the main character. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So I was like, oh, awesome. I'm going to go see the movie.
Oh, no.
So eventually I was able to go see the movie. And I saw the main character and I just cried, because I thought I was hiding it, but other people saw it, but that was my mirror and I knew it. And it's funny, because at the end of the movie, she finds this amazing guy who just is just awesome. He isn't this top of the line person, but he is everything she needed. And I remember saying in the movie theater, I was like, that's not going to happen to me. That's not going to be my story.
Okay.
I kid you not, my husband is amazing. Like, he is phenomenal, amazing. Everything I could have asked for, everything I thought that I wanted in other relationships, everything I have found in my relationship and my marriage with him. So that unknown piece is nothing to fear.
It's true. I love that. Yes. My husband now is, I just went the opposite of my first husband, like 100%. And it was amazing.
Yes. Like, that's it. There you go. Absolutely. Same with me.
Yeah. And I can always tell my husband, you're my favorite husband. And he laughs like, oh, thank you.
Thank you.
But you super are my favorite. Okay. Right. So what has been different than you expected having a blended family?
Honestly, I would say how amazing my family is. I can't say anything bad, because what I've experienced with so much division, that the unity that we have is really was different for me, like learning how to navigate how closely connected, because they will team up together and the kids, they are just like, they bond so well that sometimes we're like, wait a minute, is it us against them? Well, I guess that's how it's supposed to be.
So funny.
So I would honestly say that, like, we are a family, and that experience is amazing, but it took a lot of hard work too.
Okay, so you told me a self-care thing that you do that I think is so great. Will you share that?
So after almost losing my mind, not really, but feeling like it. Mm-hmm. I was like, we need to get some breaks from each other. We need to get away. So we scheduled days. So as I said, Tuesday is family day. Wednesday, we usually have things going on with church or just something like that. So Monday is my husband's day. Okay. He gets to go hang out with the guys, or if he wants to just go sit somewhere, he can do that. But he's away from everything. And Thursday is mine. So after I get off work, he handles everything and I just go hang with friends, or I'll go to the library and write or read or whatever I feel like doing. If it's nothing, then that's what I do, is nothing. There's so nothing good. With no one around.
I mean, that sounds, yeah.
It ends up being maybe like 3 or 4 hours. Uh-huh. But I mean, 3 or 4 hours all alone by myself, I'll take it.
Dream come true. Yeah, that's great. Yes. I love that. I want that.
Yes.
I do. So what is something from God's word that has helped you get through this journey that you've been on to blend your family?
So one of my favorite scriptures that I came across recently and has really helped me to have strength is Psalms 127:4. It says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. And it just makes me feel stronger, because warriors are strong. Warriors, they are able to see what's going on around them. They're able to navigate different things. They are prepared for the war ahead, knowing that they are going to win. Mm. And so just looking at that scripture as a constant reminder that I'm aiming my kids somewhere. I'm shooting them in the direction they're going to go. I'm going to try my hardest and I'm going to try to hit the mark. But if I don't, then there's still someone guiding the whole time. So this is so encouraging to me.
Yeah. What do you do? I mean, I have 2 kids and they completely overwhelm me sometimes. And you have like 100. So how do you even feel like you're heading them all in the right direction? That just seems like so many things.
Honestly, is I ask for confirmation in prayer.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's honestly what I do, because sometimes I don't know. And sometimes it seems like they're going the complete opposite direction. But then something will happen in the moment that will be like, oh, your kid says such and such and such. Or maybe like the kids will be playing and how their play interaction is. They're like, oh my goodness, the way they were just playing, just let me know, like, you are doing an amazing job. I'm like, oh, okay, just little, it's always conversational. It's nothing like, wow, that happens. But it's like always something conversational that's just what I need just in the moment to let me know that I am doing something right. And I'll take that.
Yeah. Do you do any special things with each individual kid, or do you take like the boys out or the girls out? Or I can imagine with that many kids, you'd forget to talk to all of them all the time.
Right. So with my husband, he's better with it, taking them out and doing things. He's very, very, very active. So with him, he's way better with taking out and doing. I'm more of the being intentional in the house. So I can navigate things. I might take a couple of them to the side and read. I might listen to a story or a conversation, have a conversation with another one. So I'm able to navigate it a little better in the house, pulling them aside and talking to them and having one-on-one time with them. My husband's awesome with just taking them somewhere and having conversations with them. So we balance it out.
Sounds like you balance everything out. It sounds really, really good.
We try to.
Yeah. Oh,
man. Not perfect, but we try.
I mean, and clearly that goes so far, trying to put yourself aside, trying to put your pride aside, trying to be humble, trying to seek the Lord. Like, that's parenting, right?
Right. I used to say, if the whole world thinks the world of me and my kids don't, then I failed as a mom. But now I say, if the whole world thinks the world of me and my kids don't, then I ask God to redeem the rest and they'll be okay.
Yeah, it's true.
I was so hard on myself before, especially at the beginning of this blended process. I'm like, I am not going to be perfect. I give myself that right and I'll be okay. My kids will love me and I'm just asking God to let them love me, and I'm not going to be perfect. But whatever area I feel like I just failed in, God, can you step in? Step in with it all, but definitely in that area.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I have one more question. What is something you can't stop talking about right now?
So I would say The Shack. Oh my goodness. I love the movie The Shack. I read the book first.
Yeah.
And the movie came out and the movie did an amazing job.
Did it? Okay. I
haven't seen it. A lot of times movies don't do that great. Oh,
yes.
The Shack. I would say that.
That is so good. So I got like 3 chapters into it, really loved it. And then the library said it's overdue and now we're starting to charge you money. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I don't know what happened. The Shack just got beautiful. Oh, and then I took it back. That's where I was at. I went through all the terrible stuff.
Yes, you didn't even get to the good stuff yet.
I know. Oh, man. So funny. But everybody wants it at the library because it's coming out on a movie, you know? So
Yeah. Yep.
Whatever.
It's awesome.
Well, that's so good. Well, listen, Rachel, I love talking to you. Thank you for all the hard work that you have put in with your family.
Thank you.
Very complicated, and would be easy to kind of throw your hands in the air and say, well, whatever. These are my kids. This is not my situation. But you are entering in and like leaning in and just, well, I know you don't know me and I know it doesn't matter, but I'm proud of you. Okay? So I need you to know that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That means a lot. Trust me.
Yay. Awesome. I don't know about you, but I have so much respect for Rachel and the hard choices she's making to put her kids first when it could easily turn ugly and the grown-ups just focusing on themselves, and that does so much damage. So, I don't know. I think that she's pretty impressive. They're all pretty great, and I am really excited to be connected to them. Rachel actually is offering a super generous discount to Mom Struggling Well listeners. Just use the coupon code STRUGGLEWELL, all one word, and you'll get 40% off of their Better Than Blended book. And you can find that at betterthanblended.com. So if anything she talked about resonates with you, or you know someone who could use some pointers on how to navigate this very tricky situation well, head to her website and get that book. So what will your strategy be to struggle well based on what Rachel said? I loved how Rachel talked about how she's better at quality times in the house, finding those quality moments with her kids, and their husband's better out of the house. Which one are you better at? So you can kind of focus on that. I personally am better at out of the house because then I'm not trying to think of all the things I have to do inside the house. But the fact of the matter is we spend most of our time in the house. So one of my goals this week is definitely going to be to pull the kids aside and have individual just moments in the house because I just need to calm down about all the housework. Maybe you could identify with the abusive relationship stuff. I certainly hope you can't, but if you just have a nagging feeling that you could kind of understand what we were talking about, prayerfully find a person to help you, reach out to me or Rachel if you need to, and we can try to point you in the right direction. Maybe when Rachel was talking about the relationship between like the new spouse of your ex-spouse when they've remarried, those situations, those relationships are obviously very fraught with feelings. But I really loved how she talked about being willing to grow the relationship, being open to getting past the original hiccups that happened, and letting the relationship kind of naturally morph into what everybody feels comfortable with. Maybe this week you kind of test the waters and see if you can do some kindness or something for the person in your life that you don't really feel like doing that to right now. I also was just so touched by the way she talked about, I don't need to be called mom. I don't need to focus so much on the stepmom role. What I need to focus on is what specifically does that child need that I can meet? And that just translates across the board for good parenting no matter what. So maybe this week you focus on what specifically does your child need and you're the only one that can meet that need. Because maybe it's not exactly what you've been giving them. I don't know, something to pray through. God is faithful and He will tell you. You can find the Mom Struggling Well community mainly on Instagram, but also on Facebook at Mom Struggling Well. You can find show notes and ways to support the show at momstrugglingwell.com. And when you go to shop on Amazon, if you'll first go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon, then you'll use the show's affiliate link, and that gives a little bit of money back to the show with each purchase that you make, and it doesn't cost anything extra to you. A friend of mine this week sent me a verse because I was just kind of having a mini freak out about something, and I wanted to read it to you because I think it could apply to all of us, especially if you understand, you know, the tricky dynamics of families. No family's perfect. Every family has their hangups. And if you're anything like me, you want to try harder and do better and force everything to work out. But so much of the time, that is actually not what God wants, because we have to depend on Him, and sometimes we just have to wait and rest in Him even when things aren't resolved. So my friend Amy sent me this verse and it really hit home for me. It's from Isaiah 30:15, and it says, "In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it." I did a super quick study on what was going on at this time. And so Isaiah's talking to the Israelites, and they were really afraid because Assyria was being really aggressive. And so they were kind of in a time of, I don't know if it was a war or it just really felt tense, but Isaiah understood that the real threat that they had was not the Assyrians. The real threat was their refusal to rest and to be quiet and to trust God, you know? And so when we are freaking out about things, we are not believing it either. So that's my prayer for all of us this week, is that we would just be quiet and realize that resting in the Lord is actually where our strength comes from, not in running around like a chicken with our heads cut off. That was me this week. All right, ladies, I think you all are the best. I hope you have a great week of struggling well.